Time to light the match for the burning truth with Casey Hendrickson.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for tuning into the Burning Truth. I'm your host, Casey Hendrickson. Do want to thank R&B Car Company locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and Fort Wayne. Go to rbcarcompany.com. Well, as most of you know, I was at the Allen County GOP Lincoln Day dinner on Friday. Mr. Zimney was at the St. Joseph County GOP Lincoln Day dinner on Saturday. There was somebody who was at both. Not a lot of them made it to both, but a couple of them did. One of those being one Curtis Hill. Curtis, how you doing, man?
Casey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. So I didn't see you sneak in to the Allen County GOP, and then when the gubernatorial candidates were given 2 minutes to talk and I looked over and like I could just see like the top of your head, and I'm like, I think that's Curtis. And so I was like, I didn't know he was here. And we got through, what, the Mike Braun video. We got through everybody else who spoke. Rittenhour was not there. But everybody else who was there spoke. And then you got up and you lit the room up. And even the people at my table were commenting like, wow, Curtis really got the crowd going. And that just seems to be what happens with you when you actually are able to talk to people. Why do you think that you're having such difficulty in getting... we'll call it news media, establishment, whatever, getting you in front of people on a wider scale. What do you think that is?
Well, I think there are folks in Indianapolis who are worried that they can't control me or my message. I think when we get out and do our own thing, we connect with folks. We have an authenticity that people understand. I don't provide empty promises like many of the people on the campaign trail. What you get with me is principled leadership, and it's based upon what I've done. When I start talking about the things that I've done in the past, people light up because they say, yeah, that's right. If you have an issue that comes up, there's a Curtis Hill way of handling things, and they're used to that, and they appreciate it.
Well, you're one of the few who actually has a record, particularly at the state level. You know, you've got one opponent who has a record at the federal level, which is not great on some respects. He claims to have adjusted his position a little bit on some of those things, but you've made it a point to call out Senator Braun on BLM support, and he's denied he ever did that for some strange reason. I don't know why. But you have always been a stalwart in the state of Indiana, and your record as attorney general, I think, speaks for itself.
Well, you know, what's funny about Mike when he's out on the campaign trail, he talks about being the most effective senator in the United States Senate. And my question to Mike is, if you're so effective, why are you leaving? It makes no sense at all. I think that what we want to convey to these folks, these six candidates, is what are the principles that will define our leadership ability when the time comes. Most of the things that will approach the next governor are things that come at you at the fly, like the pandemic. That wasn't a planned event. The pandemic comes along, and so how you handle that is based upon your character and your principles. And we saw how Eric Holcomb handled it. He mishandled it completely. With me, you have a general understanding of what I'm about, and so when I don't need to stand up and say, oh, I'm going to promise you this and promise you that. People understand that we're going to provide a conservatively principled way of handling matters. And when it's all said and done, people will look back and say, well, yeah, that makes sense. That's exactly what we would have expected from Curtis Hill.
So Curtis Hill becomes governor of Indiana. What are some of the issues that you see as, you know, a couple of really major issues right now that are not being addressed in the way that you would like them to be addressed that you would handle as governor?
Step number one is the assault on absolute truth. I talk about that a great deal, and we can't start anything without asserting the truth. And so on day one, I've already announced I'm going to get rid of the diversity, inclusion, and equity program that the state has, not because I'm opposed to diversity, but because I'm opposed to putting diversity over excellence and inclusion over competence and equity over fairness. We have to start from the beginning identifying the truth, and that leads to the family. We get rid of these phrases of birthing parent and chest feeding. These are ridiculous notions that are teaching our children falsehoods, and we don't need any of that. We need to have a system in place, an institution of government that people can rely on, that they can have faith in. And so we're going to go about creating a restoration of institutional value. When you look at Indiana government, you're going to believe in Indiana government. Not that Indiana government is there to solve all our problems, but to stay out of the way and facilitate the various issues that need to be handled.
Now, we also have an issue at the federal level with Title IX and some of the changes with Title IX. We've seen that battle play out in Indiana, and Holcomb is kind of wish-wash back and forth on protecting girls' sports. And where do you stand on that issue?
Well, we absolutely have to protect girls' sports. But what we're looking at is an administration, including Suzanne Krauss, that's done nothing in that regard. Suzanne talks about making sure that we keep boys out of girls' bathrooms. Of course we want to keep boys out of girls' bathrooms. But back in 2020, I was the only statewide official that stopped the DMV from putting an X on the driver's license to extend gender status to the transgender crowd. I did that. That wasn't done by the administration. That wasn't done by Holcomb. That wasn't done by Crouch. I mean, so these are empty promises. These folks talk about all this stuff to get to an applause line, but for crying out loud, you're in office now. Do something, damn it. That's what we're looking for. That's what the people are looking for. So I'm convinced that Hoosiers are not going to buy this rigmarole coming from these other folks. If they've not served in office before, there's no way of understanding what they'll do. Maybe they'll do a great job, but we just don't know. And if you've been in office, if you're Suzanne Crouch, if you're Mike Braun, you're in office now. Tell me what you've done. Don't tell me what you're going to do. And the reason that they don't talk about what they've done is because they haven't done anything.
So the IEDC seems to be a really big point in this election cycle, Curtis. And, you know, you've got differing approaches on how to handle the IEDC from some people who ran the IEDC before. I just read an article to the audience from Reuters that, you know, some of the most fertile farmland in the country is disappearing in Indiana because of these solar farms and the incentives that are being provided there. You got the Google data center now that's going in around Fort Wayne. They're getting a 35-year tax exemption. Amazon going into New Carlisle along with the GM battery plant. Some of these really big tech projects are happening all over the state. I highlight those because those are the primary sources of the audience. But a lot of people see that, you know, the IEDC seems to be extending deals to these big tech firms that are not available to other businesses by that, especially if it ends up being to the detriment of the state. How would you change the way the IEDC recruits businesses to the state of Indiana?
Well, first of all, Casey, we have to understand what the IEDC has become. It has become the shadow government. It has become the de facto leadership within the state institution, and it's running amok. They don't really care what the people want. They don't care what the local communities value. The bottom line is they're going around on the international scene, Korea, China, Europe, going all over the place to find businesses and businesses and businesses and businesses without regard to what Hoosiers value. And so when we want a business to relocate into Indiana, we want that business to relocate because they want to be a part of who we are. They want to be a part of our value system. We don't want to change our value system to be attractive to some high-tech company that's out of Silicon Valley. That's the difference between an IEDC that I would run and an IEDC that's running now. We're going to shrink it back to what it needs to be doing, which is putting the interest of local Hoosiers first and provide a resource for those Hoosiers, for those businesses locally. We don't want to have a situation where we continue to pump money and throw money at let's back up, money that belongs to hardworking Hoosiers that goes to fund IEDC so that IEDC can then make attractive deals to big tech companies or any companies that are against the Hoosier value. We need to operate in a more transparent manner, an open manner, making sure that we take care of the interests of Hoosiers first.
I know that we talked about this the last time we had you on, Curtis, but it's getting ready to go up again. Gas taxes in the state of Indiana, 2023, fourth highest gas tax state in the entire nation. The beginning of this month, the highest increase in gas prices in the nation. And now it's getting ready to go up here the first week of this next month. Would you make any changes or adjustments or push the legislature, I should say, to do that with the Indiana gas tax as it stands now?
Well, you know who gave us the gas tax, don't you, Casey?
I have the stickers available at btmedia.news right now if anybody wants to get them. Yes, I do.
Yes, the Mike Braun gas tax. Well, it's very simple. We can very easily roll back the gas tax to the pre-2018 levels. By doing that, we save 16 cents per gallon at the pump. And it's an easy matter to do because when they first came up with the gas tax concept, the Mike Braun gas tax, they were looking to raise $1.2 billion. Well, guess what? They've raised 1.2 $6 billion a year. We knock it back 16 cents, that goes back to $1.4 billion. So we're over what they originally wanted to do, and we can still give folks a relief immediately at the pump. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to do that. I think that's a win-win where we're still able to manage our road projects, but we're cutting back on gas and cutting back that tax to relieve Hoosiers who are looking for it badly. So that's exactly what we'll do. We're going to encourage that process right away instead of these grandiose processes of tax plans. Let's strike on something that we can do right now, today, and help Hoosiers immediately.
All right, Curtis Hill, how can people support your candidacy for Indiana governor?
Well, you can find us at curtishill.com. We have a donate page there. You can contact us about help at the polls on next Tuesday. Ours is a genuine grassroots campaign. We've got a silent majority out there. We've got people out there who aren't telling the pollsters who they're going to vote for. It reminds me of Trump in 2016 when on election day he had a 15% chance of winning because people were listening to the polls and not realizing that people vote for the way they want to vote on their heart on election day, and that's what we see on May 7th. So I want people to stay true to their hearts, true to their values, and come out and vote Curtis Hill on May 7th.
All right, Curtis Hill, best of luck on the campaign trail. Thank you for joining us. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Take care.
Casey. Take care, buddy.
Appreciate it. He's out on the campaign trail, and he's had two Lincoln Day dinners in 2 days, and he's still out traveling around the state right now. So getting down to the wire, the candidates are working pretty hard. Curtis Hill did bring down the House. I don't know how else to tell you. At the Allen County Lincoln Day dinner, he's the only gubernatorial candidate that got a significant and robust round of applause and reaction from the crowd. Nobody else did. It just might be something that you take a look at, is all I'm saying. We got more coming up. You're listening to The Burning Truth.
Podcasts by Federated Media.